Good morning.
Welcome to worship today on an extra bright and sunny day. As I'll just address it right now, we are upgrading our windows so that we can receive the stained glass when that comes. And part of that process was to remove the blinds. So the glory of the Lord is shining upon us today, and which is fitting for the season of the Epiphany. This morning, we get to continue our walk with Jesus as God continues to reveal him. This morning, we see what Jesus' heart looks like and what that looks like when Jesus lives in us. And it changes our attitude. It changes our perspective on what it means to be blessed. So we look forward to gathering around that message with you this morning. We have our guest preacher this morning, Pastor John Buchholz from Phoenix, Arizona, is here to share God's word with us in the sermon. And he also serves as our district president, so he will help us in our call meeting after the second service this morning. So welcome, Pastor. Thank you for being here, and we look forward to hearing God's word from you today. The order of worship that will follow is printed in the worship booklet, and our opening hymn is hymn 421. Let us worship the Lord. We stand. Our worship continues on page 3 in the worship book. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin. for faithless worrying and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do, you should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In his great mercy, God made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through his called servant. I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, you know that we are surrounded by many dangers and that we often stumble and fall. Strengthen us in body and mind and bring us safely through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The first lesson for this morning is recorded in Micah chapter 6. Here the Lord reminds his people that he wants their hearts. And when he has their hearts, then their lives will follow. He points them to his faithfulness and his righteousness. Listen to what the Lord says. Stand up, plead your case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, O mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth.
For the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, and also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, counseled, and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered? Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. This is the word of the Lord. The psalm of the day for this morning is Psalm 1. You'll find it on page 6, and we sing it according to the directions on page 6. Psalm 1.
Blessed are they who hope in the Lord.
Blessed are they who hope in the Lord.
Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of a sinner.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night.
He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prospers.
Blessed are they who hope in the Lord.
Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous.
The second lesson is recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Here St. Paul reminds us that Christ is our strength to live for our God. Christ is our wisdom that helps us to set our hearts on our God and living for him. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 5. This lesson is the basis for the sermon today. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Worship continues with the hymn of the day, hymn 395. Please be seated.
In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. The Son is the radiance of the Father's glory and the exact representation of his image. To our Savior Jesus Christ be glory and honor and praise and thanks forever and ever. Amen. We're going to meditate on God's word this morning as it is written in the gospel for this Sunday in Epiphany. Pastor Schmidt read those words just a few moments ago. Let's study Jesus' words as they are written for us in Matthew chapter 5, the words called the Beatitudes, in Jesus' name. When you first hear the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of his apostles, and you really stop and think about what Jesus is saying, some of the things that Christ and his apostles teach us sound absolutely absurd. It is better to give than to receive. What's that all about? If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn to him the other. If someone wants to take your cloak, give him your tunic also. Even so, we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint us. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. If you were to take any of those sayings, you would have to stop and reflect and say, really? I'm not making any of those up. Those are all quotes right from Jesus, right from his apostles. In humility, consider others better than yourselves. How are we to process these things that the Bible teaches us? I suppose that we could see these statements, these teachings, and we could say, these are obviously the sayings of people who are raving lunatics, and they have to be treated accordingly. Or we might be tempted to look at them and we might say, well, obviously Jesus and his apostles are trying to get some point across to us, but they're using over-the-top hyperbolic language, and it's not really what they mean, but, you know, you sort of get the point. We could interpret them in such a way to make them say what we want them to say. In fact, that's a very popular pastime. I've often said that there are two times when you should interpret the Bible. One, when the Bible tells you that it needs to be interpreted, like when it's a vision or an allegory or something like that. The other time is when you don't like what it says. Then you have to interpret it to make it say what you want it to say. Obviously, we can't do that. So what are we to make of these things that the Bible teaches us? The only conclusion that we can legitimately draw is that the teachings of Jesus and the heart of Jesus are very, very different. In fact, they are diametrically opposed to the way that we naturally think as human beings. And that would be exactly right. When you and I look at the teachings of Jesus and his apostles, what we see revealed is the teaching of God. And in the teaching of God, we see revealed the heart and the mind of God. And as the teaching and the truth of Jesus Christ takes root in our hearts, we are blessed with the heart and mind of Jesus. The religious climate in Jesus' day was very much founded on natural human principles. The teaching of the Pharisees, the teaching of the Jewish religious establishment, very much fit with the way human beings normally think. If someone is nice to you, then treat them nice in return. That's the way it ought to be. If someone loves you, love them back. Be kind to those who treat you well, but your enemies, feel free to treat them with contempt. If somebody does something wrong to you, well, if you want to be magnanimous and you want to be charitable, you can forgive them. You can forgive them. You can let it go a couple of times. After that, don't be a patsy. Don't be foolish. How many times should I forgive my brother after all? Everybody knew that if you were wealthy, if you were prosperous, if you were successful in life, it was because you had done something right. It was because God was smiling down upon you with favor and he was blessing you with success. But if you were deaf or a leper or blind or sick or poor, well, you must have done something to incur God's displeasure, and so God was letting you have it. That was the way of thinking. And everybody knew that there were certain people in society that even God wasn't interested. I'm talking about, of course, the tax collectors and the professional women, the dregs of society, the outcasts. Not even God cared about them. That was the religious scene that Jesus stepped into when he came with this teaching that turned his society and ultimately turned the world upside down. The gospel tells us that Jesus taught with authority, and the people were amazed at his teaching because he taught with authority, not like their teachers of the law. Jesus taught the heart of God. Jesus taught things that people had completely forgotten. And so in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus starts out with his Sermon on the Mount. Matthew tells us when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. Now it's very important as we look at this little section from the gospel that we understand whom Jesus is talking to. He's talking to his disciples, right? He's talking to people who followed him, who listened to him, who wanted to hear his word, whose feet were already on the path to heaven. It's very, very important because lots of people mistakenly look at this teaching and they think this is what you have to do in order to be Jesus' disciple. No, Jesus is talking to people who are already his disciples. The word beatitude comes from the Latin word beatus or beati, and it means blessed. We can see where it comes from because each of these verses starts with the word blessed or blessed. So Jesus sits down and he's talking with his disciples. He's teaching the crowds who had assembled to hear him. And he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." In the face of a societal presupposition that success and advancement and boldness and ambition were the keys to making it, Jesus turns things completely upside down. What in the world is he talking about? The poor in spirit, the meek, those who mourn. What Jesus is teaching us is that those who are truly great in the eyes of God are not those who have a lot of money in the bank necessarily, not those who can chalk up a lot of assets in their portfolio, but those who, regardless of their material wealth, stand before God and recognize that we are beggars by nature, that we are impoverished, and that we have nothing to offer God in terms of our own righteousness and wealth. There's no price that we can offer God for our soul. Psalm 51, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me." The sacrifices that God desires are a broken heart, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Those who mourn are not only those who mourn because of life's personal setbacks, but those who mourn the state of the world. Those who look at our culture and who see that it has turned away from God and that human beings in and of themselves are separated from God. Those who mourn with the heart of God that grieves for the lost and earnestly desires to enfold them in his loving embrace, but are not willing. These are the poor in spirit. These are those who mourn. Jesus says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Those who are already full of righteousness, well, they're full of themselves. If anybody presumes to be able to stand before God and say, look at me, look at what I've done, look at my good works, look at the slate of things that I've accomplished, that person is not humble, that person is only full of himself. And that person walks away from God completely empty and destitute. But Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That hunger and that thirst for righteousness looks only to one place for righteousness. It looks to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It looks to Jesus. It looks to the one who is for us righteousness, wisdom, and strength from God, as we just read in 1 Corinthians. When we look to Jesus and we see how he cleanses us from our sins and he clothes us with his righteousness, his perfect obedience to the Father's law, then we walk away beautiful and pure and holy in the eyes of God because we're covered in the righteousness of Christ. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The heart of Jesus is single-minded, sober, and focused. There's no deception, there's no deceit. The heart of a Christian who has the heart of Jesus is also single-minded and focused on the things of God, desiring everything to serve the Lord. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. You know, peacemakers are not just those who step in the middle of warring factions and resolve quarrels here on earth. Peacemakers are people like yourselves who point people to the way of peace with God. They step in when people are hurting and broken, and they point to the reconciliation, the peace that God has created with his human race through the blood of Jesus. When you share the gospel, when you tell people the good news, when you share the hope of Jesus, you are a peacemaker. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets before you. It's really pretty extraordinary when you think what Christians are asked to take and to endure in this world. How in the world can we act this way? Poor in spirit, meek, mourn. Isn't this a recipe for being a doorstep for people to walk all over and abuse? Well, if you're persecuted in the process, if you're persecuted for being a disciple of Jesus Christ, congratulations. Jesus says you're blessed. And when you really stop and think about it, what does that persecution mean? What can people really do to you? What can they take away from you that is really valuable in your relationship with Jesus? We sing in A Mighty Fortress, right? Take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Let these all be gone. They yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth. You see, friends, you and I approach life from a standpoint of absolute strength, absolute confidence and strength, because there is nothing that the world can do to take away the precious gift of eternal life and salvation that the Lord himself has given to us in Jesus. Now, there's no way that we can understand these things if we don't have the heart of Jesus. That is simple and true. So the only way that you and I can grasp these beatitudes that Jesus is teaching us is if we have the mind of Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul says we have. We have the mind of Christ. So how did we get the mind of Christ? Well, the Holy Spirit is the one who gave it to us because we couldn't arrive at that by ourselves. Natural thinking will not lead to the mind of Christ. And in order for God to give you the heart and mind of Christ, he had to do something very, very extraordinary. He had to take human reason completely out of the picture, and he had to completely remake you in the image of God, and he had to replace human reason with something that can only be described in the Bible as the foolishness of God. That's what God's given you. The foolishness of God. The foolishness of God looks to Christ and him crucified as wisdom and power from on high. Because there in Jesus crucified, we see God himself doing all of the things that Jesus describes in the Beatitudes. We see God himself in Christ stepping down out of heaven, humbling himself, becoming obedient even to death on a cross. We see God himself stepping into his world to redeem the human race, to show mercy upon mercy, and to shower down blessing upon blessing. We see Jesus, the ultimate peacemaker, removing the barrier of sin, destroying the conviction and the condemnation of the law, and restoring life and immortality through the gospel. The Holy Spirit did that for you and for me when he pointed you to Jesus, gave you the heart and mind of Christ, and made you a child of God. So now having the heart and mind of Jesus means that the way we approach life, the way we live our lives, the things that we do are going to be very, very different from the way the world looks at things. Someone wrongs you. Someone does something against you, sins against you. You're able to forgive them freely, not just once, not just twice, but as many times as it takes, because you yourself have been forgiven and you've been shown mercy. And so it is your highest privilege to be merciful and kind to those who are around you, whether they seem to deserve it or not. You and I do some very strange things as Christians. We gather here in the house of God and we listen to a long speech called a sermon, because we want to hear the word of Jesus, because we want to be fed and nourished by the very words of God himself, and we want our hearts to be filled with the peace that only Jesus can give. If it's better to give than to receive, then we're going to give. And that in and of itself is very, very strange. Right after the sermon, there will be an offering that will be collected, and God's people will give. In fact, this year at St. Mark's, you're going to give hundreds of thousands of dollars for the spread of the gospel. In fact, every week your pastor puts thousands of dollars in good American dollars right up on the altar. Why? It's because of that big burly usher who comes down and he kind of stands there, right? No. Because God commands it. No. It's because we have the heart and the mind of Jesus. It's because we have seen Jesus Christ, who is the greatest giver of all. And he not only shows us his example of giving himself into death, but he lives in us and he gives us his heart and he lives through us. Mercy. Sacrifice, love, unconditional grace, peace, hope. None of those things make any real sense unless you have the heart of Jesus. But when you have the heart of Jesus, when you are blessed with the heart of Jesus, everything becomes crystal clear. Amen. Please stand. We confess the Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. It's printed in your service folder on page 8. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We will worship the Lord with our offerings. Please be seated.
In our prayer at the church this morning, we have a number of our brothers and sisters who request your prayers. Jack and Gina Naves and their family request prayers for the sudden passing of Jack's father over the weekend. Janet Heyer asks for your prayers for the family of her brother Harlan, who passed away this last week. We pray also for his wife Barbara and daughter Sarah, that they find peace and comfort of knowing that he is with his Savior now. We've been asked to remember those who are specifically dealing with cancer, Carol Metzler, Charlie Norris. Charlie is a relative of our worship guests, Ben and Stephanie Wills, Charlie is 14, and he will be starting chemotherapy to treat his cancer. And also, Janine Wolcott, the sister-in-law of Debbie Avalalamont, who will undergo treatments after finding spots on her lung. With these, our brothers and sisters and their cares in mind, let us pray to the Lord. O eternal God, fount of all mercies, ever ready to hear the prayers of your people, you have promised to help in every time of need. We lift up our hearts and give you our humble and heartfelt thanks for all your good gifts and goodness, for the spirit of wisdom and understanding, for the gift of counsel and might in times of adversity, for the grace of spiritual knowledge and godly fear. We give you thanks. But most of all, we praise and honor you, O Father, for the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, and for the promise in him of life that now is and that which is to come. We ask that you daily increase our love for you and enable us to remember that we are blessed to know you and your Son, Jesus. Make us mindful of your desire to save all people. Open our hearts to a large sense of responsibility that is ours to share the glorious gospel of salvation and to pray for laborers in the harvest. We ask you, O God, to lead us into all truth and instill in us a love for all people everywhere. Preserve and maintain for us a good government and honest citizenship. Grant us a greater faith in your mighty power, a deeper trust in your merciful care, and a more perfect love for Christ. We pray also for all our homes and families. Give us all the Spirit of Christ, that our children may grow in wisdom and stature, in divine and human favor. Grant that parents may be pure love and worthy examples, and that they may preserve peace and unity in their homes. Comfort and bless those who are afflicted among us, that they may in love perceive your good and gracious will and find release from all their trials. And so, dear Heavenly Father, we call on you to comfort and strengthen those of our church family who have lost loved ones. We thank you for calling Jack's father to yourself. We thank you for calling Harlan Heyer to yourself. May the good news of a reunion one day in heaven be their strength and their comfort. As you comforted your friends, Mary and Martha, who lost their brother Lazarus, so we ask that you would comfort Jack and Gina and their families, and also Janet Heyer and Audrey and their families. Dear Heavenly Father, as we struggle physically, it can take a toll on us, and so we ask that you would be with those who are struggling against cancer. We ask that you be with Carol Metzler and Charlie Norris and Jeannie Wolcott. We also ask that you be with all those who care for them, as it can be demanding to take care of loved ones. May they have the heart of Jesus and grace to do so. Please be with our brothers and sisters and be their strength and remind them that their church family knows them, loves them, cares for them, and is praying for them. Finally, dear Lord, we ask that you keep us all and all your people in unity of faith and in oneness with Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our worship continues on page 9 with our preparation to receive the sacrament. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right, so too.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who came as the light of the world, so that the world may have light and life through him. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song.
Oh,
Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power. By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he opened heaven. Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith, until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting.
Amen. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Lamb of God, you take away.
Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you upon the cross for the remission of your sins. May this, your Savior's true body and true blood, strengthen you and keep you in the faith to life everlasting. Go at peace with him. Your sins are forgiven.
A blessing upon the supper we have received and the word we have heard this morning. We do so by joining together in the Song of Simeon on page 13. Please stand.
Thank you. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the foretaste of the heavenly banquet that you have given us to eat and to drink in this sacrament. Through this gift, you have fed our faith, nourished our hope, and strengthened our love. By your Spirit, help us to live as your holy people until that day when you will receive us as your guests at the wedding supper of the Lamb, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
We close with hymn 250. Please be seated. Good morning again to everyone. It was nice to be in God's house with you today. I especially appreciate our worship guests. We're pleased that we are able to welcome you, some of you again, to worship. May God be with you. Not everybody has the heart of Jesus, but it's a gift that God has given you, and may you find joy and satisfaction in living that love in the week ahead. Wanted to highlight a couple of announcements for you in the weekly announcement sheet. Please make sure you pick one up on your way out if you don't get that delivered to you through email. First is our organ recital is going to be on February 12th at 4 p.m. So this is our fourth annual organ recital. We have a very talented musician coming down from Washington State, and he will be here with us. This will be the first recital since we've had our organ finished out and tuned and voiced. So Marty Puckett and your Board of Worship did a good job making sure that our instrument is finely tuned for this recital. It's a great opportunity to bring a guest onto our campus. So February 12th at 4 p.m. will be that organ recital. And also a reminder about why we are putting in stained glass windows. It is to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus through pictures. I was thinking back to my home church in Watertown, Wisconsin, and the pictures up above the altar changed with the season, and I can still remember them. They're in my mind. And so prayerfully, God will bless us also with our ability to share the gospel in pictures. And then they also have corresponding scripture references. Donna Williamson is the contact person for that project. There's a write-up in the weekly news, so please take a look at that. And Gary Verthine is overseeing the physical installation of the windows. So if you have a question about that, he's happy to chat with you. And he's doing an excellent job overseeing that work to make sure that it's just right. Also, in place of a Friendship Sunday insert, I know you can't see this, but there are business cards back on the visitor center table right behind Greg Meyer. So these are for you to use to invite your friends and family to February 12th worship, our Friendship Sunday. This Sunday, you are encouraged to imitate Jesus. And one of the ways that we imitate him is to love our neighbor. So again, identify a friend, intercede for your friends, pray for them, love them, imitate Jesus' love, and then get ready to invite them. So these business cards are helpful. They have the theme for the Sunday on these. Take one, give one away, maybe leave one at a friend's house. Let's see if we can invite as many friends as possible to come and meet our friend, our Savior Jesus, on February 12th. And finally, it's a very exciting day at St. Mark's that we will issue a call for our second pastor to fill out our team. So again, thank you, Pastor, for being here to help us with that. Thank you for sharing the Word of God with us. And if you need to amend your plans, alter your plans to be here for the meeting, please do. We'll start as soon as we can after the second service. So we'll eat while we have ministry reports, and then after our business meeting is done, then we can move on to our call meeting. So I look forward to sharing our ministry highlights with you and to get on with the business of filling out our ministry team. It's going to be a great Sunday. So thank you again, Pastor. Safe travels on your way home, and we will greet you after you have visited with one another on your way out.